This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, something to get into in a little bit, around the corner.
Okay.
We got this text, and I know you love this. You are what your record says you are.
No doubt.
Oh, there's doubt. I hate that. I can't stand that. We'll get to that.
Those are facts.
But guess where we're going first?
Tell me.
To the islands.
River Islands?
The River Islands guest line.
Okay.
And then the actual islands.
Oh.
Because that's where GP2 is. That's where all the Warriors are. Hey, GP2, what's going on?
What's happening? How you guys doing?
We're good, man. Listen, I don't know you, but you seem like a kind of Hawaii-type guy to me. Does this place fit you pretty well?
No, absolutely. I love coming back here. I haven't been back here since I was a little kid, so to be back a little bit older. Getting to explore a little bit more. It's been amazing.
Go ahead.
No, it's basketball, right? You didn't check that box. And then when it comes to exploring, what is GP2 doing with the other 22 hours of his free time?
That's a good question. I got a bunch of family here, mom, brother, nephews and sister and grandmother. So, just try to do things with them. Take the young ones out on the beach. First time being at the beach in the water, so... Just enjoying that moment with them.
Woo! Well, the beaches are now ruined for them because it's all downhill from there. But anyway, yeah, enjoy that. Hey, Gary, especially since you opened up your media availability this year by saying, yes, I'm healthy and I'm ready to go, I'd love to hear about what you've been through the last couple years.
Nothing crazy. Previous off season has probably been a little bit more challenging just because of surgeries and whatnot, but this one's pretty clean. After my calf injury that prevented me to play in that play-in, I stayed after a couple weeks after the season, got that taken care of, and then from there just, getting bigger, back faster, stronger, trying to bulletproof my body. So that was pretty much the same. Nothing different, nothing crazy, just stayed in the gym, stay conditioned, and just try to be ready as much as I can.
And Steve Kerr came on with us yesterday and talked about how the team needs to have a renewed focus on defense, and that's kind of your main calling card. Do you take those words not as a personal challenge, but kind of as a call to arms, as maybe the best possible way you can contribute this year?
No, yeah, it's, I knew that, and since we won it in 22, that we kind of slipped from our defensive, standings. But, every year I got the same mindset, come in and, try to make plays and try to be disrupted on defense. So I know what he's been seeing and what he's been wanting. So, just to come out here this training camp and, put a little bit extra on that side and make sure, we understand and we're all on the same page.
Hey, Gary, one of your teammates said yesterday that D'Anthony Melton on defense looks like a carbon copy of GP2. How would you compare you two defensively?
No, having Mel here is just amazing. We got another young kid named Reese, too. That's he's picking up a lot of things quickly, but Melt's already been in the league. He's considered a vet, over here, so... He's been on high-level teams, playoff runs, and, he understands it. So just to have another guy that can fly around, similar to me, and, we have two of the same guys out there, I think we're going to cause a lot of havoc.
What's it like now as a vet? I mean, you're going to be 32 here coming up in a couple of months, and, you're probably closer to the end than you are to the beginning of your basketball career. Do you take time to appreciate these moments even more so now?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy that, I don't even know, it's year eight or nine, it sounds crazy to say out loud, just 2 years ago, I feel like I just got here, so, you look back on the journey, and, where I am right now, and, considered a vet, and be a part of this core group, it's just, it's crazy to think of. But like you said, yeah, I know it's, you know, can't go back. So it's I got a couple more left in me. So I'm just trying to, you know, use them wisely as I can.
GP2 is with us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Gary, can you sort of share what just the initial vibe is of the entire camp? And I mean that sort of in a, like, is this a fresh start feel? There's a little bit of a change, some new players. Klay Thompson's gone. How would you describe it?
No, you know, it's, we got energy. Or I feel like, you know, everybody's comes got a little chip on their shoulders. Like you said, you know, gotten some new faces, and some old faces that's been here for a while isn't here anymore. So, you know, just got a little chip on their shoulder and try to, you know, just regain that identity, you know, from all the years that they've been, you know, the same team and whatnot. So to come out here and get away and open-minded and, you know, just to worry about work on the island, you know, I think we've been having great energy since day one. And, you know, every day we've been getting better, emphasizing on, you know, transition defense, transition offense. And I think, you know, we're doing a great job improving.
Is gold medal Steph any different than just four-time champ Steph? Has he changed, Gary?
No, he hasn't. I think he just, that was a side mission for Steph. So, you know, gold medal Steph, final Steph, golf Steph, they're all the same. You know, he just does great things on whatever he puts his mind to. And I, you know, already know he's locked in, you know, as soon as he hits his gym. So, you know, nobody's worrying about Wardell.
Of course. Gary, Steve is already being asked about the starting lineup, and he's been very clear that it's like, look, this is a living, breathing thing that's going to come together. What's your view on that? Like, how quickly does a lineup and rotations and whatnot start to take shape?
I don't think so. I think we know Steve pretty well by now, and he's going to do what's best for that game, that day. And, you know, and he's already showed people that, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, go away from his gut feeling. You know, we might start the season one way, but I'm sure, you know, throughout the 82, it'll be a few different lineups. You know, we'll have some of the same core guys, but it's going to be a lot of different lineups depending on, you know, our matchups and, you know, what they want to do and look at.
Is that the biggest challenge for you looking at the 82 is not only the physical burden of going through and hopefully playing 82 games, but just the mental burden of maybe being in the lineup one day and being out of the rotation another? Is that as difficult for you as the physical burden of going through 6 months?
Absolutely not. It's starting, not starting. I'm not really worried. As soon as I step on the court to check in, you know, it's already go time. Even if that's, you know, from tip or if that's going in with 11 seconds left in the fourth and trying to get a stop. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. So whatever I can do to help, if that means, you know, starting early, then it is. If it means, you know, still staying in my spot where I come off the bench and, you know, bring energy to the second unit, then, you know, that's what coach wants. And, you know, I'm going to try to provide the best I can.
Gary, you used the phrase chip on the shoulder, and from talking to a few of you guys, you can sort of hear this thread of feeling a little bit forgotten or disrespected. Why don't you put it into words? What are you guys feeling in terms of how you're viewed by the rest of the league?
Of course, you know, they told us in 22 that, you know, we were on the downfall, you know, Warriors are done, whatnot. And I'm pretty sure they're saying it even more now that, you know, Klay went to, you know, Klay left and whatnot. But, you know, we still that, like, we added some great pieces. You know, we still got Steph and Draymond and Loon and Jonathan that's going to have a great year this year. I think we're going to shock a lot of people. And I think we're going to do some damage in the West, even though the West is, you know, it's pretty stacked this year.
I love hearing it. Hey, Gary, when we get a big, fancy, famous guest like you, we like to have a little fun with them on the way out the door with something called the Big Finish. You up for it?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. All right, two categories. You pick one. Do you want to do millennial mindset or life is a journey?
Life is a journey.
Life is a journey. All right. Aside from San Francisco, the favorite city in which you've played?
Favorite city in which I played, New York City.
What do you like about the Big Apple, GP?
Nah, it's just something about Madison Square. Crazy things happen in Madison Square. You know, crazy. You see crazy people attend the games. It's just a vibe. I don't even know what it is. It's hard to explain, but it's just a vibe. Just a 7 o'clock game, Friday night, Saturday night in the Garden. Huge, you know. Last time I remember, I think 30 broke the record there, and then that energy that night was just, it was just incredible, you know, the whole night, the whole game. But, you know, I think great things just happened in the Garden.
30 broke the record. I mean, say no more. I love that one. Question number two, GP2, what's your favorite memory from the championship parade? And some around here gave you the MVPP, the most valuable parade participant. What was your favorite memory from that wonderful day?
Favorite memory besides Clay taking a tumble, knocking people over, losing this ring. You know, him just being himself. I think just getting outside, just seeing Dub Nation, you know, be able to hit the streets with them, you know, take a little drink, have a couple of drinks with them, and just party, you know, and just have a good time throughout the city for all day. It was just, it's crazy. You know, we're trying to experience that one more time.
You didn't even mention the water gun, Gary. Everybody remembers the water gun.
I don't even remember the water gun. So that's how you know I had a pretty good time.
Hey, I love it. I love it. All right, last one, Gary. Let's leave the United States. What's one city in the world that you haven't visited yet that you want to?
I want to go to South Africa. I want to go to Cape Town.
Nice.
I want to go to Cape Town, and one more. I want to go to south of France. I want to go to Monaco. Well, yeah, absolutely. I
mean, who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
Nice. Bring the family and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Awesome, GP2.
You do bring
that one might be a solo trip.
Sorry, well kids.
Yeah.
Daddy'll be right back.
Yeah, he's already taking.
Yeah, that one might be solo. Yeah, we can dig and pick another one. That one might just be for me time.
Perfect. Bring the water gun. Have a good time. Gary, thanks so much, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes.
GP2.
He's the best.
I love him.
That's the best.
Yep.
What'd you have? A lot of drinks?
That's right.
Yeah, he sure did.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark! Do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Don't have to be. It's just so much more fun.
Right. Yeah.
So much more fun.
And you said you'd be authentic when you started the show 3 years ago. It's been almost, it's been about 3 years to the day almost. I wonder what the show-iversary is. It's right about this time.
Well, the hiring... or maybe it was the last show across the street was October 1.
Okay.
And then there's a little lag.
A little bit.
Yeah. Like just the short. So it's next week.
Okay.
It's sometime next week.
And it'll I'll be 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, three-year anniversary is coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said you'd be authentic. And so authentically you are a homer.
And for so many of you out there that are going to be bummed by the news, there's going to be at least three more.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
I'm going to need another 15 probably. So
yeah. Yeah. I said at least.
I got a 2-year-old, so I've been informed by my lovely wife, Supper, that she'll be retiring before me, despite the fact that she's more than a decade younger than I am.
That should be that way.
Of course.
Of course.
So I get to work until I'm 70, and when she's in her mid-50s, she gets to bounce.
Will you explain to her that you work year-round, though?
I've tried. And on Sundays when
this 8-month schedule that these teachers, these overpaid teachers I'm kidding.
I know.
I'm so kidding.
It's actually a 10-month deal now. Summer's down. You know this as a parent. Oh, I know. Summer's down to 8 weeks.
I've told you this forever. Summer, I compare to Mirror Lake in Yosemite. It's the same thing. Every year, it gets a little bit smaller. Yeah. And one of these days, it's going to be gone.
Totally.
Yep.
I believe it is. It might be 9 weeks, but it's not much more.
No. No. Ski week. And look, I got nothing to say about this, but today...
Shout out Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. This is a Jewish holiday, and they just are like, let's just not do school at all. No matter from what faith you are or what background you are, and the kids are like, yeah, the school's off. And I'm like, just remember this.
Yep.
When summer goes from mid-June to... late June. Remember that your ski week that you love, your month-long winter break, that's why.
Yep.
You're all doing the same number of school days that we did.
180 school days. You did it. I did it. Your kids are doing it.
Oh,
180 school days are still 180 school days.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how you want to slice it.
Hey, don't miss the kickoff show Sunday, okay? Niners Cards, Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings, two of our favorites, live 2 hours before the start of the game. You can join us at Hilton Santa Clara. There's delicious food. There's great drinks. There's the best pregame show in the Bay. And it's presented by Habas Law. You've been wronged. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. All right. I'm going to take a little risk here. At the risk of a stupid semantics argument.
Okay.
I get bothered by this. You are what your record says you are. No, you're not. I mean, literally, I would argue that you just said, even though you're going to back the idea that you are what your record said you are, and I know, I understand what you mean mathematically.
Of course.
I get it. You don't get into the playoffs if you go 7-10.
Even
I understand
though you're
that.
A really good team.
And nobody cares about the context and the why and all of that at the end. However, is 2-2, is 500, is that good?
It depends on who you play.
Well, wait a minute. You are what your record says you are.
Right.
And I would argue that 2-2 is not good. That's not what you were hoping for. Certainly not
There's
for the 49ers.
There's context in your 2-2.
Exactly.
For every team. Like, very let's much look so. Across football. The Jets are 2-2. How do they feel?
Awful.
Baltimore's 2-2, and they should be better than that.
Well, they should be, but that's trending up because they're coming off of a wonderful victory.
The Raiders are 2-2, and they're probably thrilled at being 2-2, right. As is Denver. So every 2-2 is not created equally.
And Dallas is 2-2, and I'd argue they stink. The Bears are 2-2. I don't know if their offense has scored a touchdown yet. I honestly don't, and I'm only sort of kidding. You know what I mean?
The Niners are 2-2, and if you wanted to rate their 2-2 start on a scale of 1, god-awful, to 10, this is pretty bitchin', the Niners are probably a 5 in how they feel about their 2-2.
The Broncos are 2-2.
And they're probably thinking this is cool.
Well, they threw the ball for 60 yards last week.
And they beat the Jets 10-9.
Yeah, right. And they won a football game. So, like,
every 2-2 is not the same.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So... ... You are not what your record says you are.
See, this is where you and I are going to have to slug it out for the next 90 minutes because you're 2-2.
Well, explain to me what you mean then. If there's context, there's context. In other words, we are free to have a differing opinion about the same record. So if we're going to have a differing opinion, this 2-2 means that, but that 2-2 means this, that means, in my opinion... You are not what your record says you are, because we are saying different things about the same record, no?
We are, but at the end of it, if you're 2-2 and 2-2 is not good enough, or if the Niners wind up 9-8 on the year and they miss the playoffs, then you're going to feel differently than if they wind up 9-8 and they make the playoffs. The record would be the same, and the disappointment level would be dramatically different based on what you get to do next. So,
but that's looking backward.
Ultimately,
we're at a point in the season where we're looking forward.
Right, and well, right now we're looking backward at 2-2. We're not looking forward at 2-2. We're looking at what they are at 2-2, and I would say this 2-2 for the Niners is more disappointing than it is. Pleasant.
No question, but I don't think it defines them is what I'm saying. I guess that's a better way to say it. When someone says to me, you are what your record says you are, that sounds to me like you're defining the team. You're a 2-2 team. Mathematically, yes, but none of you feel that way. None of you. None of you. You're playing exact words. You're playing Sharpie. You're playing math. And I don't think most of us look at sports and football and whatnot with a math brain when we're drafting how we actually emotionally feel about a team. If I do go back to the fact that I do think that the 49ers remain favored in every remaining game, then I'm not going to define them as a 500 team, even though they sit there as a 500 team right now today. Like, I just don't see it that way. The Broncos and the 49ers are not the same thing. So you are not what your record says you are.
Well, and that's one way to look at it. Ultimately, the only thing that matters is your record. And we can look at the Warriors last year and say 46-36. That's a pretty good regular season record. That's a pretty good year. You were the ninth seed and you got knocked out.
Normally.
So ultimately, all that matters is how you finish and what you do if you make the playoffs or you don't make the playoffs. And so the Niners are 2-2, and you could look at it and say they should be 3-1. They should not have lost to the Rams. So that's disappointing that they're 2-2 and they're not 3-1. You can feel that, but the reality is you're 2-2 because you gacked the lead against the Rams, you choked it away, and you're 2-2. So you are what your record says you are.
Okay. So
you don't get to be 3-1 because you outplayed him and you should have beat him.
No, of course not. But you understand where I'm coming from, which is that none of you feel that the Ravens and the 49ers are equal to all of these other 2-2 teams. Nobody would have that opinion. Nobody.
Right, but if you wind up the year and you are just like these other teams, then our feelings will be different.
Well, sure.
And Dallas is a great example because you just said
I think they stink.
You think that they stink, and you think that they're going to be 2-4 when they come here and they take on the Niners, and the Niners should be 4-2. They might be 3-3.
Yeah.
You just never know. But if Dallas comes in here at 2-4 or 4-2, we'll think differently about of the very same Dallas team.
100%. Like, again, I'm not saying that your record doesn't matter. I'm saying that we're still very early in a season, and our projections also matter. And here's what, in the end, I'm kind of getting at. And I do wonder this, based on the disappointment of this first foursome of games, we're coming off of a win. We didn't get to really dive into it as much as we normally would on a Monday and Tuesday because Farhan Zaidi got fired and Buster Posey got hired and there was a press conference and it was a big old stinking deal. Plus the Patriots, speaking of stink, stink. So here we are, and I wonder how everyone's feeling. Do you still consider the 49ers the favorite in the NFC? There are, let's count them up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that have a better record. In the just in the conference, 5 teams have a better record than the 49ers.
There are 12 that have the same record or better, because you've got 7 teams that are 2-2 in the conference. 5 or better, and then you are in a 7-way tie for 6th best record in the conference. Are they still the favorites in the NFC? Absolutely. And, you know, you could look at Minnesota and say, well, they beat you head-to-head, so Minnesota should be the favorite. And, you know, Minnesota's been the best team in the NFC so far.
Yep.
They beat you, and they're 4-0.
No, they have good wins. They beat the Packers at Lambeau. They blew the Texans off the field. They beat the 49ers.
Well, they blew Green Bay out for three quarters.
A quarter and a half.
In Green Bay, it took a long time for them to answer late in that game. Jaden Reed.
They need to cut their field goal kicker. They need to cut.
He's a rookie, right?
Yes, and they need to send him back to school.
That's a little harsh.
No, it's not. He's missing 35 yarders. Like, I'm sorry. There's no time to wait. That's just the way I sort of react with that stuff. Like, he actually cost them a chance to win that game, even though they were down by 4 scores. First of all, they wouldn't have been down by 4 scores if he could kick the ball straight. But it is not December at Lambeau Field. It was September. At Lambeau Field. The sun was shining, and you're playing a division opponent. You need to kick your 37-yarders through those two uprights over there. And it wasn't even close. So, to me, he really, really cost him in that game. And he wasn't good the week before that either.
Yeah, he's 9-13.
That's not good. That's one miss per week.
Well, you know who's behind him, right? Mr. Hall of Famer himself.
Oh, well, he's had a bad year.
He's 5-for-8. Justin Tucker.
Yeah, he's had a bad year.
And then the Colts kicker's 3-for-5. The only two kickers that are worse than the Packers kicker.
You're talking about percentages but yep. Nobody's missed more kicks. And I don't even know the kid's name. What's the kid's name?
Oh, I don't know.
The Packers kicker? Something.
Jimmy getting cut? Yeah, he's missed 4 field goals, which is far and away the most in the league. You're right.
Hang on. Packers.
Braden Narveson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Narveson.
Braden Narveson?
Yep.
Sounds made up.
Braden Narveson. Yeah.
Am I right?
No good. No good.
That's a 2.
I know. Anyway. Yeah, I could give you a factual answer if you want to do your record. You are what your record says you are. Then factually, the 49ers remain the favorite in the NFC by a long shot.
Right.
By like a literal long shot. They are almost twice the favorite of the second one, which is the Detroit Lions.
And that's based on the odds makers who are going to always protect themselves based on wagers that come in. And, you know, if you want to do like true odds and true probability on winning the NFC, they're probably first or second still, even though they're at 2-2 and the Vikings are at 4-0.
Ken, do you know where game show music is? Do you know where that is?
Like,
let's have some fun. Let's have some fun for a second. Do you know where it is? He's looking.
He'll find
looking,
it.
Searching, yeah. Googling. He's asking Jeeves. And there it is. All right, let's go. Should we do top 5 or top 10?
In
order.
Oh, God.
Current Super Bowl odds. In order. Why don't you go until you buzz? Go until you buzz.
I mean, from 10 down to 1 or 1 down to 10?
Start with the 1. Start at the top. Who's the Super Bowl favorite?
You would figure it'd have to still be Kansas City.
That's correct.
Number 1.
Okay, who's number 2?
Well, who it should be is not who it actually is.
Oh, but you are what your numbers say you are.
Again, this is the odds. This has nothing to do with what your record is. This has to do with what the odds makers think and how they want to protect themselves. So the Niners are number 2, no doubt.
That is
number
correct. Two. They are number 2. Who's number 3?
Probably the Ravens.
That is correct, even though they're also 2-2.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Who comes after that?
Here's where it gets tough.
Keep going until you get a buzz. You got a buzz ready, Ken? Get a buzz ready.
Get your buzz out of here.
Yeah. Get your buzz on.
Thursday
like GP2 at a parade.
Kick off in a half an hour, start drinking.
Come on.
How about the Bills? Would they be next?
That is correct. We are at plus 1,000, the Buffalo Bills. Who's next?
Detroit?
That is correct.
Come on.
Plus 1,100. They are number 5. Who's next?
Well, it's got to be the undefeated Vikings.
Ken?
Ken?
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. No, sorry.
One buzzer's enough there, Grandy Jr.
One more time. No.
God.
No.
I feel like Grandy's back.
Houston Texans?
Really?
Yeah. And you can fade the Dibbers and fade the music too. It's
ba, 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 ba.
Yeah, Houston Texans plus 1,300. The Philadelphia Eagles are still ahead of the Vikings.
Really?
How stupid is that? You want to talk about not watching football? Let me promise you something right now. Nick Sirianni not winning a Super Bowl. That's just dumb. He's plus 1,400. Then comes the Vikings at plus 1,600. And how many teams is that? There's 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Rounding out the top 10, the New York Jets, and then a tie at 10th place between two NFC foes that are on the Niners schedule, the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are your Super Bowl odds. Yeah, I would argue that these odds scream that people do not believe that you are what your record says you are. Because wouldn't you agree Vikings are too low? And then I can keep going with all the stubbornness of this list in terms of we're not moving off of them, even though we can see, like, why are the Bengals 11th? Hello, they're 1-3. They're a mess.
Yeah.
They're a total mess. Well, nope, we still, you know, Joe Burrow. Okay, if you want. And then you got to go 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way down to 17 tucked right up against the Chicago Bears are the 3-1 Washington Commanders with the favorite for Rookie of the Year. People are not reacting to the records yet at all.
Well, especially in that division where Philadelphia looks more than vulnerable, Dallas is a hot mess, and the Giants stink. So could the Commanders up and steal that division?
Totally, they could.
It doesn't feel like anybody's going 12-5 in that division and walking away with it.
And the Commanders have, correct me if I'm wrong, they have a pretty winnable game this week, don't they? Yeah, they're hosting the Browns. So
the other one is New Orleans, I thought would have been a little bit higher. Well, the team that can flat out score with anybody.
But they've lost a couple in a row. They're 2-0 start, right? Young Wei Koo, 58 yards, boom, you lose.
That was crazy.
Yeah, so now they're 2-2. That division's all kinds of interesting after a couple of years of it being just an absolute joke where 8 wins would win the division and get you a home game. But Tampa's 3-1, the Falcons and Saints are both 2-2, and everybody looks kind of viable.
Yeah, and that, for me, is kind of the nature of the entire NFL. Even if you take the 2-time defending champion Chiefs, they don't look unbeatable. And Minnesota looks probably the best through 4 games of any team in the NFL as far as what they are and what they could be. But nobody's believing in that team. And then the other teams that you would really want to bank on, Baltimore, the Niners, Buffalo's a team that you'd probably put higher on the list as far as, you know, track record and a good start. But for me, parity is reigning more supreme this year than ever before.
I agree with you. I look around the league, and this is really probably a feather in the Niners' cap that not a lot of us have discussed or thought about yet. I don't think anybody looks terrifying, Niners included. I don't like it. At least it hasn't taken shape yet. And you could argue that Minnesota has looked the best, but that's still... it's still Minnesota. Like, at no point would I look at them and be like, they're going to dominate. That's going to be really hard. The only thing that I would say that is shaping up that's potentially an issue there is that they now have, in theory, a 3-game lead on the 49ers with regard to home field advantage, if it all plays out that way. If the Niners do have a good season and then this kind of gets on track and they have a good second half and they're going for one of the top seeds and they're going to win the West, the Vikings are 4-0 and have the tiebreaker on the Niners.
Yeah.
So that's already shaping up to be a potential problem, because I do think going to Minnesota in January would be hard. That would be hard.
I think playing Minnesota, period, would be hard because of what Brian Flores was able to do to your guy, Brock Purdy, and the Niner offense. The way they play defense with their 7-man front at times, and when they rush 4 or they rush 3 and drop 8 or they bring 7, they are very confusing defensively. And Brian Flores has had Kyle Shanahan's number in those games, and he's been able to counteract the Shanahan offense at least in the last couple of matchups. And
through a pick. They got 6 sacks. I wouldn't act like he confused Brock Purdy. Brock gave him a compliment. Brock also threw 28 of 36 for 319 yards and a score.
Yep.
It's not like he was like, I don't know what to do out here.
You scored 17 points.
I understand that.
Again, second straight year, you played Minnesota and you scored 17 points.
Sure. And that's on a lot of things, though.
It is. Yeah. And it's not only on Brock Purdy, but I look at a Brian Flores defense versus a Kyle Shanahan offense, and they were able to bend and not break. And that's another thing if you want to talk about the New England game, and we want to look at things that have me cautious about really going knee-deep on the 49ers, is they still have a red zone issue. This team still does not do enough.
That's fair.
In the red zone. Opening possession, you get to the 3, let's kick a field goal. Second possession, you get to the 8, let's kick a field goal. This is not the way to go about winning Super Bowls, is by settling for 3 instead of 7 against bad teams.
Yeah, that's fair. Then again, they've had a lot of penalties in the red zone. And some of those were very, very bad calls. I know they ended up scoring in the red zone on that one drive.
Yep.
3 times in 4 plays, but they get the green check for scoring a touchdown on that particular drive. I understand that. Yeah, you have a point. Yeah, they need to be more efficient in the red zone.
They were 2-for-4 in the red zone.
Well, and that's actually where I feel like they feel the biggest void with Christian McCaffrey. He is impossible in the red zone. Like, as a defense, what do you do? What do you do? You sell out for the run, and then all these passing options open up, including him. Or do you lay back, and now Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the game, is firing at you in the red zone? I think that they miss him there a little bit. I also do think that you know, again, if we're looking at the 49ers right now, you're more concerned with the other side of the ball than you are the offense.
You are, but, you know, you look at things that could be better, and obviously special teams would be area number one. For me, the defense would be area number two, and then offensively, it's the red zone. And I look at last year, the 49ers had a 68% red zone touchdown percentage, which was number one in the NFL.
Yep.
This year, you're at 50%, which is tied for 20th with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, not good. Not good after a small sample, but yeah, not good. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, let's circle back to the front. We're having an interesting conversation early on in the show with regard to when you watch Brandon Ayuk, what do you feel? Like, what do you think's going on there? We can get a little bit more into the Devontae Adams angle of this, which has been much discussed throughout the country, including here so far today. But also, it's starting to give me Kevin Durant kind of vibes. And what does that mean for you? So when you watch him play, what do you feel like is going on there? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls. We'll talk it out. It's Willard and Dibs.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.